Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to yet another episode of the Stuck in the Double A podcast. It's your boy Alex McBuckets, and I'm joined by my lovely co-host.
What's going on, y'all? It's your boy Lito. Welcome back to another installment of the Stuck in the Double A podcast. Enough of the introductions. Yo, Alex.
Yo, we got a lot to get into.
Woo! This Saturday, NBA playoffs start. That is the one time of the year you dub your girlfriend and say, yo, I'm watching NBA basketball.
That and All-Star Weekend.
Facts. But listen, Alex. I'm not going to lie. These playoff matches are very enticing.
Yep.
I do want to get into it right away because I am too excited right now.
Absolutely. So Woo! Should we start at the top of the bracket?
Hell yeah. Let's
okay, do no it. Problem. Hell so we yeah. got OKC in the Western Conference. Then we got Cleveland in the Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. And we have to give our predictions for what the eighth seed is going to look like because at the time of this recording and hopefully by the time that this is coming out also, the eighth seed game hasn't even been played yet.
So who are the four teams in contention for that eighth seed?
So we've got right now on the Eastern Conference, the Miami Heat and the Atlanta Hawks.
Yep.
And then in the Western Conference, we have the Memphis Grizzlies and the Dallas Mavericks.
Ooh, shit. I think, okay, if we're going to look at the Atlanta Hawks against the Miami Heat,
mm-hmm.
hot take, spicy, Atlanta takes it. I got Atlanta. They're playing at home, right? If I'm not saying they're playing at home.
Yeah, they are playing at home.
Home court advantage matters in the playoffs. This is the play-in, the playoffs, and you know who that...
Yeah.
Although I'm a Knicks fan, I freaking hate you, Trae Young. It's F. Trae Young all day, every day. But you cannot deny he's a baller.
Trae did have 28 in the last game.
Yep.
And they still couldn't pick up the dub. But it's because of that ejection that he had. And honestly...
Orlando is just leveled. They're not a play-in team. They're not a play-in team.
They're definitely a playoff team.
Yeah.
So, honestly, though... hot take, I do have the Miami Heat low-key taking it versus them. Just because I saw during the last game, impressive play out of Tyler Hero and Adebayo. Hero went for almost 40 points versus the Bulls. I'm thinking that he's on a hot streak right now, and he's going to be playing pretty impressively versus Atlanta. And I don't see them having enough wings and bodies that they could throw on him to be able to stop him defensively.
Right. I think the main thing for the Miami Heat to take this game tomorrow would be Bam Adebayo.
Yeah, definitely the X factor.
They do not have Clint Capella due to injury.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have Jalen Johnson either, Atlanta. So I'm expecting Bam to go for 20-20.
Damn.
That's my expectation.
Damn.
He's got a dog.
No, he has to play really efficiently. Yes. I'm not going to lie. He's been playing very good in the second half of the season. Shout out to A.J. Wilson. Maybe the reason why he's playing so good.
Oh, shit. I mean, who wouldn't?
I mean, yeah, come on. Like, she's probably also like, yo, get in the lab, my son. Because at the end of the day, like I'm putting up MVP numbers. Where you at?
Yo, facts.
No, literally.
You gotta step
literally,
it up, man.
Literally.
Nah, but what about the West?
So in the Western Conference, we have Dallas. Honestly, who I thought was going to lose versus Sacramento.
Oh my god, I was so shocked.
I was shocked, bro.
Not
for nothing. Anthony Davis, Klay Thompson maybe could make something happen.
I don't know. I don't think so, man. I look at those boys in Memphis, Ja Morant. Even on a bum ankle. I've got Ja Morant.
That's the biggest factor within itself. Like, the only thing is how severe the injury was. So at the end of the day, if Ja's going to recover and be like fully okay for this game, I honestly see them taking it, bro. Who's going to stop Desmond Bane from going off?
Listen, when Ja Morant went down with that ankle injury, he held it down.
The only reason why I feel like maybe Dallas could pull it out is because of the fact that they have such a massive lineup. Like, Dallas, literally, in last night's game, their point guard was Klay. At 6'8", bro.
Yes.
And that's crazy.
And then
like,
they have Daniel Gafford. They have Derek Lively.
Derek Lively, AD. And they started yesterday some guy named Najee Marshall. He was playing at the two guard for them. Bro, that guy's huge also. Mm-hmm. He's like a 6'10 guy. Like, yo, their whole team is just like a very big squad.
Right.
So, again, if Klay plays efficiently and AD plays as well as he's been playing, they might be able to take it. But I agree with you. I think maybe Memphis.
I don't think AD is going to do his thing tomorrow because of Jaren Jackson Jr.
Oh,
defensive player
of
the year. Yeah, I don't think he's going to do much tomorrow.
Oh,
I don't think so.
Wow, okay.
I don't think so.
Do you think Desmond Bane plays a factor, like shooting all those shots from the three-point line?
Yes.
Like, I think he's their biggest X factor.
Yeah.
Aside from Ja's injury, like...
You know what? Zach Edey.
Oh.
He's the big man in the middle. He has to neutralize Anthony Davis. and Daniel Gafford tomorrow.
Yo, I hope Anthony Davis no se lo come vivo. Because,
ay, no, por favor.
Dude, that's what I'm saying,
but Zach Edey, for me, is the X factor for tomorrow.
He made so many mistakes in that game versus the Warriors, but I don't blame him because he's a rookie.
He's been double-teamed. He gets triple-teamed. He's so tall. Like, you know, what do you want him to do? You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's a fact. So, okay, so if we look at Memphis coming out in the Western Conference, and then we look at their matchup versus OKC, who's the first seed, right? The way that things played out this regular season, in the five matchups, OKC took it versus Memphis. I mean, OKC barely lost games this season. Yeah, so it's like
they raked the league.
Do we think that they're going to breeze by the first round?
No. Mm. It's going to be competitive. I say OKC in six. Main reason, because John Morant.
Oof, bro.
People forget about John Morant. Although he's had his personal issues outside of the court, he's still...
No, he's a force, bro.
He's a superstar. He's a force, and bro. Superstars can change games.
If he didn't go down with that injury, it's potential that they beat Golden State. Real spill.
Oh, yeah. But honestly, I think it will be OKC in six. That's just because OKC has more of a deeper lineup than Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
I also do see people like Alex Caruso coming up big in regards to guarding John Morant and Desmond Bane as well. And I also see Hartenstein really making an impact with his ability to pass the ball.
Yeah.
But also being able to be a mobile defender compared to like someone like Zach Edey
mm-hmm.
that isn't really as mobile as Hartenstein.
I agree completely. I would say OKC in five solely because I think that Chet Holmgren is going to be extremely healthy going into this playoff series. He's had a lot of time to like take off. And to the point that you're bringing up right now, they have big men that can guard the three-point line if need be. And they can switch on and switch back off.
Exactly.
So I think, honestly, you were talking about it beforehand, off pod, 2 7-footers in the paint that are playing super efficiently and can give you buckets on offense and play very well defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you might have it, bro.
Yeah,
okay,
that's going to be a great series, though. I won't lie. Ooh, I'm going to be out of my seat, man.
So then on the opposite side, right, we've got Cleveland as the number one seed, which I've been saying all season that they're a fraud number one seed. Ooh. But I may have to eat my words. I'm also extremely biased. You know what I'm saying? But you're also biased as well. We're thinking Cleveland isn't going to do shit.
Screw y'all.
I'm saying it because more so I've been frauded in the past at Donovan Mitchell being the leader of number one seeded teams and then losing in the playoffs early.
Yes.
So again, do we think potentially if they play Miami, right?
Mm-hmm.
They beat the Heat in two games out of the three that they played this season.
Right.
Spider's been averaging 24. Garland's been averaging like 6 assists.
Yes.
Jared Allen and Mobley have been emerging like stars, 10 plus rebounds a game. They've been dogging.
Right.
Adebayo putting up 20 and 10 mm-hmm. or Adebayo putting up 18 and 10 and then Hero having 20, like, I don't know. What do we think that matchup is going to look like if Miami's able to pull it out?
Bring out the brooms as a sweep.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
shit.
The reason being is not even because of Donovan Mitchell. It's because of the two men in the paint.
Oh, you think it's Jared Allen and Mobley?
Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. They're going to overwhelm Bam Adebayo. It's the offensive rebounding. And plus, the X factor, if that series would have happened, DeAndre Hunter. One of the most underrated pickups at the trade deadline. He's a versatile wing that can guard every position. He can sometimes switch on Donovan Mitchell, get on Darius Garland as well, depending on the matchups.
True.
Cleveland has a deep squad, man. Ty Jerome, Isaac Okoro, et cetera.
Yeah, and they also have Amani Bates off their bench. Amani Bates was a dog when we were in high school watching him play. Like, yo, Amani was crazy. And he's had pretty good games towards the end of the season.
But, yeah, sweep.
Yeah, sweep. Yeah. I'm going to be honest, any team that comes out, whether it's Atlanta also, I also think it's a sweep. I think Cleveland's taking it in the first round. So, let's move on to the second seed. We've got Rockets versus Warriors. Hola, chepas, bro.
Damn, Rockets were the second seed in the Western Conference. The Warriors made it to the seventh seed.
Yeah.
You know, electrifying series because you have one team that's on the older side, but they have that championship DNA.
Absolutely.
And you have the up-and-coming rising young team like the Houston Rockets, led by Sengun. They led by Jalen Green, led by Dylan Brooks, too.
Yeah.
I think it's Asar Thompson.
I think Amen plays on their team. Amen plays on their team. And then Asar plays on Detroit.
Detroit, yes, of course.
We'll be bringing them up pretty soon.
No, of course. But electrifying matchup. I think Houston has... only won twice against the Warriors in the regular season.
Yeah.
So, I honestly will take Golden State in six.
Oh, my God.
I listen, when you have the best player, the best two players in the series both play for Golden State. Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry.
Yeah. Here is where my take somewhat differentiates, only because this Houston squad specifically, I think, is going to cause a lot of problems versus Golden State. And Steph is potentially somewhat hurt. He has a minor wrist injury that's going on in his right hand. He's been playing with a sling. So I believe that they will somewhat struggle. Although on struggling shooting, Steph still put up 30-plus points versus Memphis the other night.
But he's just that guy.
They have a man guarding Steph, though. And a man is one of those dudes who's able to have, like, he's a high-energy kind of kid. And so he's able to stay in front of Steph without getting too exhausted throughout the game. Houston also has somewhat of playoff experience. They do have veteran presence in both Steven Adams and Fred VanVleet, former NBA champion.
No, of course.
So, I don't know, man.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Who do you give the ball to on the Houston Rockets when it comes to crunch time?
Ooh, that's a tough question. Golden State has
two of them. So, even if you put Thompson on Steph, Jimmy Butler.
Well, on Jimmy, I think that you would have to put Dylan Brooks. Yeah. And then the X factor, in my personal opinion, for Houston is actually Sengun's play, as opposed to I think it's Amen Thompson on defense, but I think it's Sengun on offense because of the way that he's been so efficient this season. Like, he's leading the team in rebounds, and he's damn near leading the team in assists also. VanVleet is the one right in front of him with like 6.5, but to be able to have a big man that's able to space the floor out, he's so efficient around the basket that, bro, Draymond's going to struggle, bro.
I'd say the X factor for me is Jalen Green.
Ooh.
Because he's a volume scorer.
Yeah, of course.
He's inconsistent. And I don't know if I can rely on Jalen Green as of yet. He's too young.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not too sure. If he shows up in this series, kudos to them. But I just don't have that belief yet in Jalen Green to like, I need this bucket right now. Give me that bucket and you're going to make it in 100%.
I can agree with you that they will definitely go as far as Jalen Green's play.
That's true.
Yeah. Yep. So in my opinion, if everything clicks for Houston, I see Houston in 5 or 6.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
It's because the Warriors barely made it past the like somewhat of a beat up Memphis squad. Okay. So I think that if they end up gunning it versus this team, the Warriors will find some sort of struggle, but playoff Jimmy is a different breed, bro. Blast He's the X factor for Golden State, by the way.
Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, they go as far as Jimmy's play.
Ooh, okay.
You got to think about it. Jimmy doesn't go off for damn near 40 in the first game.
They lose that game.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. And then it just gave Steph more confidence to be able to work with the ball. So Jimmy needs to be that guy so that then Steph doesn't have so much pressure
on him.
Wrapping
it up. My X factor, Brandon Pajinski.
I'm serious. Shout out to More Than a Game podcast with Gilly and Wallow.
Yes,
Gilly's like, yo, that Pajinski dude. He's like, yo, that guy's a Fugazi me, bro.
but for real, Pajinski is the X factor. If he can ball out this series, it will give Golden State a lot of help.
Facts.
Now we're gonna move on to.
On the other side.
Boston Celtics against the Orlando Magic.
Yeah.
Off camera, you did tell me you did not want to face this team in the playoffs.
I did not.
Simply because of the fact that they showed it, you know, 2 days ago.
Yeah.
They are versatile at all five positions, play great defense.
They're one of those teams also that has a massive team. It's very similar to that, like, Dallas situation that I was describing earlier, bro.
They're annoying.
They are annoying to play against. I know, as a Knicks fan. And again, Boncaro, like, I don't know what I'm going to get out of him on any night. So if he goes into this series and he's somewhat dominating, all that being said, still got Celtics in five. Celtics in five without a question.
Oh, man.
Boncaro, Ronchero, fucking Ron Suno, don't care. Celtics in five. No cap.
Why, though? Why do you say five?
I say in five because of the way that the Celtics have shown me this season that they can get it done with other dudes. And I also believe that it's going to be a struggle for them to have to guard Porzingis, who's been playing out of his mind the last couple of games this season. I also think that Orlando's bench Boston plays a certain play style where they like to get dudes in foul trouble kind of early. Right. So I think that off the bench, it is going to be a struggle because Peyton Pritchard has also been going ballistic for the Celtics.
Right.
The only issue that I find with the Celtics' current play is the fact that Jaylen Brown is on a minutes restriction currently due to an injury that he's been suffering with the past couple of weeks towards the end of the month. And so I don't know what that is going to look like. In the past, I've been known to say that I stand JT's play over JB's play. Mm-hmm. But I won't overlook the fact that if Jaylen Brown has an efficient game in this series, obviously the Celtics are gonna be successful within the matchup.
Listen, the X factor for both teams, for the Celtics, Jaylen Brown's health.
Yeah.
He was the finals MVP. I think he deserved it. Many people don't think he deserved it. He deserved it because of his two-way play on the offensive end and the defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not 100% in the playoffs, Boston may be in trouble.
Yeah.
Especially against an Orlando Magic team that is very physical. They can play 1-5.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have to bank on Jaylen Brown being healthy.
Yeah.
Their
team also being, like, huge poses lots of issues for the Celtics, who are not really, like, They're not the best interior defensive team in the NBA. Right. They're more so like they can guard the perimeter pretty well. And Orlando doesn't really have many perimeter dudes. A lot of their play comes from like Wagner taking it inside. Banchero. They also have Banchero, Wendell Carter Jr. Yes. They have a pretty huge team.
For the Magic, I will say Cole Anthony.
Ooh.
If you can provide the scoring he provided in that game against Atlanta, Orlando could make a series. I won't say they will win. I'm saying Celtics in six.
Okay, fair
enough.
They'll
take two. I think so. I think if Cole Anthony has maybe 20, 25 points off the bench for Orlando that can boost their scoring, they can make it a series.
That's fair. That's fair. I would say that the X factor for them, for the Magic specifically, they go as far as Banchero's play.
Okay.
Banchero being the main dude and being able to lead the team, as far as he goes, is as far as they'll go as a team. And he's a dog, by the way. He was a potential all-star before he got hurt at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, he was putting up stupid
messed
numbers.
Up my fantasy team.
Yeah, I was about to say that. You were busting ass with Banchero in fantasy. Facts.
Whatever. It is what it is. Rooting for you, Banchero.
Now, on to the 3 seed in the Eastern Conference.
The New York Knicks. F is you talking about, bro?
I know you got a lot to say about this Detroit squad and what they've been saying as of late. So I'm going to give you the floor.
Listen. Pistons, you ain't doing nothing. Josh Hart, Walmart, Kmart. Knicks in 5.
That's a fact.
You know why? Playoff experience is non-existent on that team either. You know? In Detroit.
That's a
fact. And I will say as well, I get it. They're the up-and-coming team. They're rising. Cade Cunningham averaging 30 points per game in the regular season against the Knicks. They have won 3 games against us in the regular season. So, hey, listen, you got your thing. But they never really faced a fully healthy Knicks squad that is coming off a rest. So, pump the brakes, please. And also, I will say this. If Malik Beasley doesn't show up, Pistons are in trouble. Because I remember vividly during the regular season, he torched us twice, I believe. He had a game winner and one. The other one, he had like mad points at the Garden.
Yeah.
And I think on the Knicks side, the X factor for me will be Mikal Bridges.
He's ridiculed
throughout the regular season due to his lack of defense and offense. Relatively inconsistent compared to OG Anunoby, Karl Anthony Towns, and Brunson as well.
Mm.
So if he can show up, put up 20 on efficient numbers, and also in the process, you don't have to lock up Cunningham.
Yeah.
Hold him to under 25 or under 30, but on bad efficiency, you can win the series.
Wait. I would think that the matchups would look a little bit different. Mm-hmm. I would think that they are more than likely, I think that Detroit is going to match up either Ausar or Cade on Brunson.
Yes.
And then I believe that the latter would be guarding either Mikal or maybe Josh.
Josh Hart?
Yeah, maybe Josh.
I would say OG Anunoby because he provides more of an offensive threat with 3-point line. He can also drive
to
the basket.
Okay.
So Josh Hart is more like...
So it's more likely that they put Thompson on Anunoby instead.
Yeah.
Because size-wise, they match up better.
Maybe they put Thompson on Brunson, though. You never know. Because typically when Knicks go into playoffs, they like to put tall defenders on Jaylen Brunson just to disturb his rhythm.
Fair enough.
But I think New York takes it in 5.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah. I got Knicks in 5, maybe even Knicks in 6, depending on how the series plays out. Only because My X factor for the Knicks, we spoke about this off camera, Karl Anthony Towns. Karl Anthony Towns' matchup is Jalen Duren on Detroit. Yes. And Jalen's been having a hell of a season. Mm-hmm. And he is very athletic for the five spot.
Right.
Insanely athletic. And I know Mitch is going to be doing his thing down low anyway, so right. It's likely that they interchange. But something tells me that they're going to put somewhat of an enforcer on Mitch, kind of like Isaiah Stewart or something like that, to be able to try to like physically put hands on him throughout mm-hmm. the series. The physicality of this series is going to be through the roof.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
If you want to tune into 90s basketball, this is the series.
Bro. Yeah, that's a fact. There's going to be hella fights breaking out.
For all
out.
You old heads, this series is going
to
be
done. Josh Hart's also going to be trying to like lay motherfuckers out. Yeah. I won't lie about that. Yeah. But yeah, Nixon five.
Yeah, Nixon six. Five. Yeah, yeah. Let's go, no Jalen Brunson's in a ball out.
Yeah, facts. Shout out to the Knicks. Definitely rooting for their success.
Oh, Knicks.
Now on the other side, aside from the Celtics, y'all already know it's a brawn world on this side, okay? And we've got the Lakers as the number 3 seed going up against the Timberwolves, the number 6 seed.
That's a great
matchup. Is going to be a great series. Now the Timberwolves have never seen the Lakers so far in the regular season with Luka on the squad.
Oh, hell no.
All four matchups that they had this season, in which they split 2-2, mm-hmm. were back when Anthony Davis was with the squad.
Yes.
So this is going to be a new look for the first time matchup of Anthony Edwards having to go up against Papi Luka.
And LeBron
in the playoffs.
Damn, man. Okay, here's how I look at this series.
Okay.
There's two narratives here. Julius Randle showing up in the playoffs, and Anthony Edwards proving he could be the face of the league. Let me tell you why. Even if Anthony Edwards loses this series, which I do have the Lakers whooping the Timberwolves in five, if Anthony Edwards can at least take two games or three games out of the Los Angeles Lakers, he has a strong case.
For face of the league?
For face of the league.
I would say if he can push it to seven, definitely. Oh, yeah. 100%.
And also, I would say Julius Randle is my X factor in this series, right? Anthony Edwards, you know he's gonna go off. You already know.
Yeah.
You already know he's gonna go off. But I will say this, they're gonna double team him a lot. So he's gonna need Julius Randle to step up.
Yeah.
Who historically, because I'm a Knicks fan, we know he's choked in the playoffs for the most part.
Yeah.
So I think Julius Randle has to put up at least 20 and 8 rebounds, 4 assists on good efficiency for them to win this series.
Okay. In my opinion,
right.
I think that low-key, the X factor is two of them for LA and also for Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
In Minnesota's case, I think that their X factor, believe it or not, is Jaden McDaniels, who is arguably going to need a matchup versus one of the more bigger wings. It may be like a Hachimura or maybe LeBron himself.
Or Luka.
Or potentially Luka. Yeah. I see Luka, Anthony Edwards matching up for a majority of the game.
He's going to want that. Yeah.
The thing is that he needs to stop kind of this like third option on the Lakers, whoever it ends up going to.
Yes.
And then I see him not necessarily putting a body on a guy like Austin Reeves, maybe.
Right.
But at the end of the day, on the Lakers side, Austin Reeves' play is definitely going to be an X factor for LA,
mm-hmm.
as well as Luka Doncic's shooting efficiency.
Ah.
If Luka does not have a good shooting night, which is not what's being said as of the last four, five games of the regular season. He's got his rhythm back, bro.
Yes.
Dropping over 30 in four out of the last five and games of the regular season.
Ooh, listen. I think for the Lakers to win this series, they'll have to protect the paint as much as possible.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because honestly, the Timberwolves will not put in Rudy Gobert because he's a liability in the playoffs.
Mm.
But paint protection is very important.
Mm.
And if we have a guy like Anthony Edwards, who, yes, he has had the most three-pointer shot ever in his career, which leads the NBA as well.
Yeah.
He's more of a slashing guard.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
You have to bring protection. So that's why Jackson Hayes, for me, is the X factor in this series.
Ooh, that's a good take. That's a good take.
Because he's the center, the starting center for the squad.
Yeah.
So he needs to provide maybe 10 points, 10 rebounds, 3 blocks. That's all I'm expecting from him.
That's fair.
He's at the paint. Let, you know, LeBron and Luka do their own thing
and
have that security in the front.
Yeah, I completely agree. My X factor for Minnesota also, because I said that there was two of them, is Naz Reid. On top of Jaden Daniels, Naz Reid is definitely going to be somebody that comes up big for them. No lie.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great series, but I think the Lakers got this.
Yeah, game. Lakers in five.
Lakers in five.
No, Lakers in five. No question.
Shout out Shannon Sharp.
Yeah, absolutely.
By the way, Indiana against Milwaukee.
Ooh.
That series is great. Would have been so much better with Damian Lillard, bruh.
But Dame has technically, as of 2 days recording,
yeah,
been cleared for the blood clot that he suffered.
Wow.
Which is insane.
Wow.
Dame, I'm not going to lie, bro. God gotta be on your side, chat.
I know,
3 week recovery for a blood clot thrombosis, whatever. That's the shit that put Wemby out for the whole season.
Yeah, shoulder. That's legendary, man.
Dude, that's insane.
I know.
So he got medically cleared, and there's potential that he may come back, if not in the first round. I think that they would have him on a minutes restriction. They might bring him in off the bench as of right now, which is fine. Because the way that the Bucks have been hooping as of late,
yes,
without his play, is insane. Mm-hmm. Kevin Porter Jr. stepping up, Kyle Kuzma stepping up, Giannis playing super dominantly, and Brooke.
Yeah.
Bro, the big four that they have right there, kind of nuts. And they got this like white boy, too, that's been getting hella buckets. I haven't seen him. He's like a corner shooter. Yeah, he has like a weird jump shot.
Yeah.
I don't know Cuz's name.
You got the Bucks winning in how many games?
I have the Bucks in five. Potentially the Bucks in six, depending on how good Indiana comes out. Indiana's a high-scoring team that's fast. That's the only thing that has me shooken up.
As much as this pains me as a Knicks fan to say, Pacers in six.
But the Pacers have also lost three out of the four matchups, and the only one that they won was off of that Tyrese Halliburton, like, awkward three-pointer.
Now here's the difference. The Bucks won't have Chris Middleton, who got traded, and also they won't have Damian Lillard. So the Bucks will have to rely heavily on Giannis Antetokounmpo. We'll have to rely heavily on Kyle Kuzma, who, great player.
Yeah, but he's been playing.
Not the transcendent guy.
No, and Kevin Porter Jr. too. Not transcendent. So,
and Indiana has one of the deepest teams in the league. They have Nembhard. They have Nesmith. They have Tyrese Halliburton, Siakam, Miles Turner. That is a lot to deal with.
Yeah.
And I think the Pacers will take advantage of the fact that Damian Lillard will not be in the Bucks starting lineup,
yeah,
they will win this series in six.
My thing is the best player on the squad, the best player on the court, like you were saying earlier, is Antetokounmpo. Yeah, averaging 30 and 11, he's in contention for MVP runnings and stuff like that. So they really need to amplify the fact that they will not let him go off or completely shut out everybody else while he is going off, which I think with the names that are given is somewhat hard for Indiana to do.
Right.
Which is, they're not having as good of a season as they had last year.
Mm-hmm.
The play of Tyrese Halliburton is down. He's not scoring as much as he was in the past. Although he's leading in assists, it's going to be very tough.
I will say, for the Bucks to win the series,
yeah,
the X factor for me, Kyle Kuzma.
Without
Damian Lillard, you need that guy that can put the ball on the floor and create shots for himself. I think Kyle Kuzma can do that.
Yeah, right? I say that.
Before in the Lakers, not so much with the Wizards because, you know, the Wizards are trash.
Yeah.
But Kyle Kuzma for the Bucks, you need to compensate for not having Middleton anymore, which was a guy that was crucial in their championship run, and also Damian Lillard. But the Pacers, Pascal Siakam.
Yeah.
Pascal Siakam has to dominate in this series.
Yeah.
Because Halliburton may not be scoring as much as, you know, we would like, but he's a great facilitator.
And I'm not going to lie, though. Siakam could turn it up in a series.
Siakam is a proven playoff performer. He won the title with Kawhi Leonard in 2019.
Yep.
He, for me, has to go out and ball like
that post-spin move and the fadeaways.
Freaking Beyblade over here, yo.
Yeah, that's a fact.
My God, bro. It's crazy, bro. Damn.
Yo, nah, he be wilding. You would know.
He cooked the Knicks.
Yeah, you would know.
Man, please, but the last series we have to talk about.
Last series matching up, fourth and fifth seed in the Western Conference. We've got the Denver Nuggets versus the Clippers. And the reason why this series is extremely interesting is because of the Nuggets' inefficiency so far this season.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that they also just got rid of Malone. And their GM.
Yep.
So, honestly, not even to mention that the Clippers have been on fire so far. Like, the Clippers have been playing out of their mind.
Whooped Golden State. Well, not whooped, but they got Golden State's number in that last game of the regular season.
Very true.
I think this is going to go to seven.
Ooh. Wow, what it takes.
It's going to go to seven.
I believe that it will go to seven, too. Who do you got coming out?
Well, first things first. Jamal Murray's health has to be at 100%.
100% agree.
Because he's coming into the playoffs a bit hobbled. But we all know, you should know, you follow LeBron and the Lakers.
Come on.
When playoff basketball does commence, Jamal Murray becomes a different
animal.
So if he can stay healthy, he could be at least 89% of himself. The Nuggets can win the series. But I got the Clippers edging this out.
I've got the Clippers edging it out as well.
So I think my X factor in this series for the Clippers will be James Harden. Because historically speaking, he's had great regular seasons. Mm-hmm. This year was arguably one of his better seasons as of recently, the last 5 years. He has to show up in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That game 7 against Boston, I still remember it to this day. Horrible performance.
Horrible performance.
And historically, all due respect to James Harden, because I mess with him as a player, one of my favorite players, he's got to show up in the playoffs.
My issue with Harden is the fact that I believe that he is also a massive X factor for the Clippers. I believe that if Jamal Murray is able to get off the way that we've seen in past playoff performances, Harden needs to show up on defense.
Ooh,
You absolutely need to show up on defense.
But you know what, though? They won't put Harden on Murray. They would put Chris Dunn on Jamal Murray. And Chris Dunn is a great defender. I'm not sure if you've seen his
clips. I've seen his clips.
So it's going to probably be a situation where they start Chris Dunn and James Harden together.
Very interesting.
Have Chris Dunn on Jamal Murray so that Harden can get that rest so that when he goes back on the offensive end, he'll be more energized.
Clippers team is deep, though, bro. They're deep, bro. Man. They got Terrence Mann coming off the bench. Their team is tough, man. Yeah,
man. They got Norman Powell.
Shit, yeah, I know. Yeah, Norman's been dropping 22 points per game, bro. He's been playing super efficiently.
Who do you got in the series? I got them. I got Clippers at 7.
I have Clippers in 7. If not, then I potentially have Nuggets in 6. Depending on Jokic's play.
Okay.
If Zubac is able to lock up Nikola Jokic, then I completely see them. I completely see the Clippers being able to dominate in this series.
Right.
But if not, bro, it's going to be a long day, man. I know from facing Nikola Jokic in the playoffs in the past, being a Lakers fan.
That guy
puts belt to ass, bro.
Man. You got
to
watch out.
And he turns it up in the playoffs. Yep. Like he's already turning up during the regular season. Like we've been talking about it. Shai Gilgeous is definitely going to win MVP.
Oh, yeah.
But Jokic is literally averaging a triple-double and doing it on the most ridiculous efficiency that we've seen ever.
That's why I'm saying, like, Zubac's got to play his thing. He got to play his game too, man. It's going to be a great series. I'm going to be tuning into every game.
Absolutely. Ooh, man. Absolutely. Absolutely. So to round things up, Angel.
Yeah, what's up?
And because we kind of missed it a little while back,
yeah,
we should definitely bring up the fact that our fans, the few fans that have been turning in, have reached out to us on the gram.
Oh, yeah?
And they want to know about certain takes that they have and they want us to talk about on the pod.
Spicy. Absolutely. Hot takes.
From the gram.
Yep.
And so we'll start it off. Shout out to our boy John. John1x4.
Yep.
He says basketball is the second most popular sport in the world behind soccer, we're assuming.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Because literally the 94 Dream Team made it international.
Absolutely.
But soccer has always been the number one because of the, you know, the World Cup and all that stuff. So
yeah,
I agree with that.
NBA has been gaining like a bunch of hype, but I agree. Yeah, soccer is definitely more well known. And everybody's playing footy. Like I'm playing footy and I used to be a basketball player.
He's Dominican.
Yeah,
he's supposed to be playing baseball.
I have no business playing footy at all. Speaking about baseball.
Yes.
Brings us to our next topic. That was a great transition.
Yeah.
Shout out to my boy Jaden. Although, JQ, honestly, we got mad beef. You already know because it's a pinstripe household on this side. He claims that Juan Soto will hit 50 home runs this season, and he also claims that the Stankies, his words, not mine, will not make the playoffs and will place fourth in the AL East.
Wow.
We're currently number one right now in the AL East, above the Blue Jays.
Yeah, of course. Juan Soto hitting 50 is insane. Hell no. Yeah. He ain't going to do that. I think he's going to probably hit 40 home runs, maybe 100 plus RBIs,
yeah.
But no 50 home run season for him.
No.
In regards to the Yankees not making the playoffs, if they could get Giancarlo Stanton back to full health, they can make the playoffs. I don't know about the World Series. I don't know about the World Series because, you know,
I think if we get Cole back and he plays efficiently.
He won't be back. Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, he's not going to be
available. But you guys can make the playoffs. You guys can make the playoffs.
I'm trying to be.
I'm not one of those Mets to be like, oh, you're going to make the playoffs.
Nah. Jazz Chisholm, X Factor, by the way. We only go as far as, like, if he improves as a player, then, you know, we're there. Going back to the NBA side of things. Shout out to my cousin Ant at the real _Ant3.
Mm-hmm.
If they can remain fully healthy, he says no one is beating the Lakers. And he also says that the Mets will not make the World Series if they include Juan, with the addition of Juan Soto. So I guess you can answer the Lakers question first. Do you think anybody could beat the LA if they remain fully healthy and they're able to dominate the way that they've been?
The one team I do have beating the Lakers, the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oof, tough.
The Oklahoma City Thunder. They have too many bodies down in OKC, Shea, Jalen Williams, Hartenstein, Holmgren, etc. I think that's the only team that can beat the Lakers. If not, I don't see anybody else beating the Lakers. And then, hot take right here, right now. If LeBron makes the Eastern Conference Finals.
Western Conference Finals.
Conference Finals, sorry. He's the GOAT.
Already the GOAT, but yeah. Yep. LeBron's the man.
Yeah,
LeBron's
and for the World Series sake, I think that the Mets can only make the World Series if we get a healthy Manea back.
Yeah.
Kodai Senga keeps up his pitching,
uh-huh.
And Juan Soto has to wake up.
And the Dodgers are completely hurt. And
yeah, basically.
Because I'm honestly, that's the only reason why I don't have them making the World Series. Because you have to go through the Dodgers to be able to get there. And it's like, that's like Bills, Kansas City Chiefs. It's wild. Lord shout out to my boy Anthony as well. @ant_bucks_. He's saying, I'm not saying he is, but Shea is better than Prime Harden.
No. You're crazy. I all due respect. No.
A more complete player, Shea Gilligan with the rebounds and with the assists. But brother, prime James Harden. We could insert the Stephen A. Smith clip here of him dropping 40 versus everybody, bro. Versus everybody, bro. The scoring tear that Harden was on was just insane. Put basketball on a whole nother level too. Yeah.
We were in high school for this. We would know.
Yeah.
The talks. Woo! Harden was diff, man.
Yeah.
Harden was diff. Yeah. Shea got nothing.
Nah, Shea don't got nothing on Harden. Although Shea does have mad aura. But Harden also had mad aura at that time. Man, insane amount of aura.
Everybody feared him.
Yeah, literally feared the beard. There you go.
Shout out to my boy Real Ulysses on Instagram. He says the cornerback position is harder to play than the quarterback position.
Ooh,
I will say facts. Straight facts.
All right.
Let me give you a perfect example.
Okay.
Darrell Revis had to cover in his prime Ocho Cinco, Randy Moss. Those are just two that I just named right there. Yeah. Not to mention the modern era, Sauce Gardner has to cover people like A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
Freaking, who am I missing here? Jamar Chase, Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
And also not to mention the coverages that they have to cover.
Yeah, yeah, acclimate to. Yeah,
acclimate 100%. To, cover three, cover two, cover one. They got to cover the whole field.
100%.
Imagine that.
Yeah, I can make the argument that the quarterbacks need to face the cornerbacks, but again, that's just adding to the plate of the cornerbacks being as efficient as they are. So at the end of the day, definitely see cornerback be in the harder position.
Hell yeah.
Now, that actually brings up something really interesting, and it'll be the last thing that we wrap up the podcast with.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Hunter has recently come out in the media stating that he does not want teams to draft him unless they will allow him to play both sides of the ball, the wide receiver and the cornerback. And very interesting enough, shouts out to my boy, my God, I'm forgetting his name, Ryan Clark, that used to be former Pittsburgh Steeler.
Yep, champion.
He says that he does not believe that Travis is a top three option, nor at wide receiver, nor at cornerback within the draft.
Okay, all right. First things first. Travis Hunter, you're crazy if you want to play both positions in basketball.
In football.
See, that's how mad I am. I'm messing up the sports.
Yeah.
You crazy?
Are you crazy, brother?
Listen, imagine you as a quarterback having to cover Jamar Chase.
I, want to see it for the Shohei Ohtani factor.
No, of course.
I want to see
it. No, I would like to see it myself, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I know.
Imagine having to cover Jamar Chase and then having to freaking
Line up against Sauce Gardner. What the fuck are we talking about, bro?
Bro, no. It's not going to happen. And plus, I think when he gets drafted, he won't have the full, control to be able to, I want to go here, I want to go here. No. The coach is going to be like, nah, you're freaking wild. Are you crazy?
That's fair.
It's a lot of injury. And also, to be honest, we're going to wrap it up here. College football is nothing like the NFL.
Yeah, 100%. I completely agree. Kidding me? I completely agree. All that being said, please, somebody let him at least do it for one game to two games on this, just so we can say that we saw it in our lifetime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like whoever it is,
that'd be great.
We will be getting into how the draft will be playing out in the next episode of the Stuck in the Double A podcast.
Tune in next week, guys.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you guys once again for coming in and tuning into the show. You guys drop your playoff takes in the bottom of the episode so that we have an idea of how you guys seeing things play out.
Mm-hmm.
Angel, where can they find you at?
Find me on Instagram at Lito_005, TikTok at Angelito_S5. So go ahead, give me a follow. Also, if you follow me on Instagram, you can give me any of your hot takes and they'll be discussed on the Spicy Hot Takes segment.
Yeah, that's Let's a fact. Go.
What
that's
about you, Alex?
You guys can find me everywhere at Alex.McBuckets or iteration of Alex.McBuckets. It might be like an underscore or something like that. I'm on TikTok. I'm on YouTube. I'm on Instagram. You guys can check us out anywhere. And again, you can also feel free to drop those takes within my DMs and then we'll go ahead and respond to them on the podcast.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you guys once again. And we hope that you guys tune into the next one. What an NBA playoffs we have in store. Go Celtics.
Go Knicks. Let's go.
Let's do it, baby.